Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Siemens press conference for Q1 for fiscal 2020. It is great to have so many of you right here in the Olympiahalle Munich, and also thank you very much to all of those who are following our press conference online today. It is a pleasure to sit right here next to our CEO, Dirk Käse, and our CFO, Ralf Thomas, as well as our Deputy CEO, Ralf Busch, and Michael Sen, the designated CEO of Siemens Energy. Welcome to all of you. Just a few housekeeping remarks. I would like to ask you to put your phones on mute during the press conference, and to all of our photographers, please do not use flash photography during the event. Seems to be fine. I don't see any flash. Thank you very much. No flashes yet, exactly. Now, this morning you've received the documents on Q1 for fiscal 2020. All of those documents, of course, as per usual, can be found on our press homepage, siemens.com/presse. That's also where you will be finding the live stream for the press conference. Please also note the additional details and information on page two of the presentation. Now, quickly on the rundown of the press conference. First, Mr. Käse is going to give you a short introduction on the quarter. Mr. Busch is going to give you an update on the implementation of Vision 2020+, and afterwards, Mr. Thomas, as per usual, is going to give you a detailed run-through of the quarterly figures. All three gentlemen will, of course, be available for Q&A afterwards. At 8:30 A.M. at the very latest, we will have to end the press conference due to the fact that Mr. Käse and Mr. Thomas have to continue to the telephone conference for our analysts. At 10:00 A.M., our AGM will get started. Of course, you are very much invited to attend the event, either from the journalist stand or from the media room right here. Also, in the Olympic Hall during the AGM, you are neither allowed to record audio nor video. Over to Mr. Käse.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to wish you a very good morning. It is very early now, and I'm sure we will have a very long day today. I'm very happy that both of you have joined us here in the Olympiahalle, and I also know that many of you listen to us via the phone or the internet. Welcome and good morning to you as well. We have Mr. Thomas here. He's going to give you the details about the businesses. Then my deputy, Roland Busch, is going to explain you the progress of Vision 2020+, and I'm sure we've made good progress in this respect. And then Michael Sen, sitting to my right, and of course, he will be ready to answer any questions you may have. And you probably read that we have taken a very important decision yesterday. This refers to Siemens Gamesa, and this will certainly be an issue or a topic to be discussed today. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it is not exaggerated when I say that these are very exciting times. Five days ago, the U.K. left the EU. For us, this company with 15,000 headcount and many subsidiaries over there, it is a very important point in time, and we have prepared very well for this, and I think we can now handle and tackle the respective issues in a very, say, considerate manner, and we will know the business situation, and based on these, we will be able to arrive at our decisions to be taken. For a few days now, and I'm sure you followed this, we have a new pandemic situation, the coronavirus. This means we are now operating in difficult times. It is not the time to surmise about the things about the health-related or global issues or conclusions or consequences for all this. This is something which has to be done somewhere else. But I think it is the time to commit and devote your efforts, and this is the reason why we now have a CT scanner for use in pulmonary examinations, which was delivered to two hospitals in China, in Wuhan. And then 2 weeks ago, we were at the Global Economic Forum in Davos, and we met customers, business partners, investors, and political leaders from all over the world. And I can say this year's meeting was entirely dominated by discussions of sustainability, environmental protection, and a new, as we call it, inclusive type of capitalism. Well, and I can say we were not only discussing with the environmental associations and the activists who voiced their promises and ideas, you know, they outperformed each other. And I can say 5 years ago, Siemens announced that it would be climate neutral by 2030 and would reduce its emissions by 50% by 2030. I think we've made very good progress here. And in my speech at the annual shareholders meeting, we will discuss further reaching concepts and thereby underscore once again how serious we are about combating climate change. For this reason, I think it seems almost grotesque that, you know, a signaling system project in Australia has meant that we've become the target of a number of environmental activists. And I am sure that we are going to discuss this during the annual shareholders meeting. Well, yesterday I just got some idea of what is going on and what will happen at the headquarters here. And I'm sure that we'll hear a lot and see a lot today. You know, we discussed this project, a lot of things have been said, a lot of things have been written about it, and we are going to, or we have, examined the situation in a very thorough manner. We took a decision, and we are going to put it into practice. And surely we are in a situation where we can take decisions freely, and, you know, if we are in different times, then maybe things would be different. But this means that the signaling system will make sure that there is a secure rail service and will also make sure that, you know, commissioning the controversial mine, here things are a bit, you know, unclear. And I have to say, and this was again underscored by Davos, that the ESG topics, that is the environmental, social and governance topics, are key strategic factors that must be an integral a part of business and company planning. And this also for investors. They will become increasingly relevant. Siemens Energy will play an important role in this worldwide transition from conventional power generation to renewable energies. And of course, this is also very important when it comes to the contributions to transition from fossil fuels to synthetic fuels and energy source systems based on green hydrogen. And of course, I believe this is very important. In this connection, a robust, profitable and innovative business in the renewable energy field is a key prerequisite for success. And for us, this is why we took the decision. This business is Siemens Gamesa Renewable Energy, or as we call it, SGRE for short. And I informed you about this yesterday. Siemens AG will acquire Iberdrola's entire 8.1% stake in SGRE, and this means, or this transaction will increase our stake in the company to about 67%. We've also agreed with our partners that there will be a special agreement referring to certain projects for wind power generation, but also for improving and optimizing distribution grids, which are now or are playing an increasingly important role in this green energy world. And furthermore, we expect that additional annual savings of up to about 100 million euros can be realized by unwinding the shareholder agreement and also through intensified cooperation between Siemens and SGRE. And the net present value here is about 900 million. And as I said, Siemens will be able to generate it about 67%. As part of the spin-off and subsequent public listing of our gas and power business, we will contribute all our shares in SGRE to the new Siemens Energy Company. And I believe this was trailblazing, it was pioneering, meaning Siemens and Gamesa broke new ground nearly 3 years ago by combining their wind businesses and thus proactively shaping the consolidation of this vital industry. And now we can say we have to act proactively in this important business. It has not always been easy, I must say. But, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what others are telling us, what is going on in this business if you are not doing things like this. And, you know, we are right on track with the realignment of Siemens Energy and its planned public listing in September. And the time plan looks like this. We will determine the headquarters of the company. There are still discussions going on. And by the end of March, and this is at the end of the second quarter, we expect the carve-out, which means the legal separation of all Siemens Energy activities from other Siemens activities. A very important milestone for us. On July the 9th, we're planning to hold an extraordinary shareholders' meeting of Siemens AG here in Munich. At this meeting, we'll explain the carve-out of a majority stake in Siemens Energy and put this transaction to a vote. And in September, we are planning the planning a capital market day, which will tell the equity story, as we call it. We will announce the business plans and our targets for the subsequent years. Well, let me briefly summarize the first quarter. The key figures are set out in our presentation. You can see it on the screen. You've got the respective documentation this morning. And Ralf Thomas is going to discuss the individual businesses in even greater detail. And as expected, you know, after a very strong end of the fourth quarter 2019, we got off to a somewhat slow start into the new fiscal year. But nevertheless, we see a very robust order intake, and, you know, it is only marginally lower than in the record prior year quarter. And then the book-to-bill ratio, this means the ratio of orders to revenue, it is 1.22, and I can say that this is very gratifying, this figure. We have to stress this. We are very proud of this figure. Now, if we look at the bottom line, we see digital industries, smart infrastructure and mobility, that is the key elements of the new industrial Siemens. We found out that they met our expectations. And looking at our software business, which has to do with a low voltage business and also the business in China, here we also see very good and positive developments going on. Well, we are not only the ones dissatisfied with the first quarter profit development at Siemens Gamesa and Healthineers. Well, there are others who are also not very happy about this. There will be some shareholders who are going to voice their opinions during the AGM. And, you know, this also reflected in our targets. And, of course, looking at our health business, here we see some growth going on. This refers to the top line, the sales, as also incoming orders. We can also say that this is a very gratifying pictures, and as you certainly know, we have confirmed our annual targets. Now, looking at Siemens Gamesa, here we assume that the change in the ownership structure will mean that the management will have more capacity to focus on improving profitability. Gas and power. Well, here the situation is like this. We have to close the gap due to primarily an unfavorable mix between new business and services and concentrate. And this is something which, this is a gap which we are going to close in the forthcoming months so that we will be able to be listed very successfully. And having said all this, I think I want to stop here now talking about the first quarter. Now I would like to hand over to Roland Busch, and he's going to give you more information about the implementation of our plans in the forthcoming months. And I'm sure he's also going to give you very positive information too.
Thank you very much, Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, also a very good morning from me and welcome. With our Vision 2020 Plus, we've initiated one of the biggest transformations in our company's history. In the first phase, we focused Siemens setup to give it an even sharper focus on our customers and markets, and we laid the groundwork for clear areas of responsibility and accountability. Our company must have the agility it needs to adapt to the rapid changes we're seeing in all of our markets. Now, that's exactly the ability that will be crucial to our company's future success, to be more agile. Now, the best example of how we've been executing the strategy is our planned spin-off of Siemens Energy. Right now, both the energy and the oil and gas markets are undergoing a disruptive transformation at a very high speed. The market and technology cycles of 10 to 20 years we're used to have been contracting radically. The driving forces behind this, of course, are decarbonization, decentralization, and digitalization. The planned spin-off of Siemens Energy, which is to take place before the end of fiscal 2020, will give us the foundation for focus, accountability, and adaptability. And our goal is to give Siemens a leaner and thus more agile setup and reduce our costs across all areas. We're taking the long view in implementing these changes in order to make sure that we are giving careful consideration to the interests of all of our stakeholders, customers, suppliers, employees, and owners alike. It is important for me to emphasize that Vision 2020 Plus is far more than just a cost-cutting project. Vision 2020 is a program that aims to generate added value for our customers and make us more competitive in the long term, thus enabling us to grow faster than both the market and the competition. And on top of that, we want to become more profitable. That's the only way we'll have the leeway we need in order to invest into Siemens' future, in our technological leadership in hard and software, that is, in our products and software portfolio, in our portfolio for the Internet of Things in the fields of industry, infrastructure, mobility, healthcare technology and energy, in the digital transformation of our businesses, in expanding our businesses in new growth markets, and finally, also in acquisitions. Now, to do this successfully, we'll need to maintain and even intensify our focus on providing excellent education and training for our employees. When we invest in people and their talent, we're investing in Siemens. But let's take a brief look now at what and how we've been implementing our cost optimization measures. After all, we'd like to provide you here, as we promised, with complete transparency. Now, all our measures for optimizing our costs are progressing as planned. We're reconfirming our target figures, as you can see from the four green check marks here. At Digital Industries, we were able to accelerate implementation, all measures in our DI1 program, and in the Digital Industries program for Region Germany have been discussed with the employee representatives, and we're now implementing them by mutual agreement. We're also making good progress at Smart Infrastructure. In the quarters to come, the SI team will execute the measures as planned. This will result in higher severance charges. We're also progressing well at Global Business Services, and we're confident we'll be able to achieve savings of about 90 million. In implementing lean and effective governance, we're aiming to achieve a savings of around 500 million euro. And here, too, we're well on track. We'll be able to make more specific statements about target achievement when Siemens Energy has been fully carved out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, oftentimes we hear the operating companies and the strategic companies in focus when we're talking about financial reporting. And for this reason, I'd like to say a few words on our portfolio companies, that is, units reported outside of our so-called industrial business. After all, we're talking about a portfolio that generates nearly 5 billion euro in revenue. In spite of their challenging environment, the business lines at our portfolio companies increased their orders in Q1 2020 by 3% year on year, and they even increased revenue by 14% on a comparable basis, while achieving an overall positive result for the first time. You might just recall that last fiscal year, we were still reporting a negative adjusted EBITDA for these businesses of 115 million. Now, this improvement is, of course, a great success for our team, and I expressly would like to thank all of our team members for this achievement. Now, the portfolio companies, as an organizational unit since December 1, have been headed by Horst Kaiser, and he'll be applying his expertise of many years of operating experience and excellence to continue driving our private equity approach. As you know, Jochen Eickholt, his predecessor, will be playing a key role at Siemens Energy, and I'd like to take this opportunity to warmly thank him for his dedication and outstanding achievements over the last few years. As of February 1st, Horst Kaiser, as head of Siemens Strategy Department, will be succeeded by Peter Körte. He'll be playing a major role in continuing the ongoing development of strategies for Siemens and in the digital transformation for our business. And with that, over to my board member, Ralf Thomas.
Thank you very much, Roland. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm now going to give you an overview of our individual businesses, digital industries, smart infrastructure, gas and power, and mobility. Well, you are already familiar with the figures for Siemens Gamesa and Siemens Healthineers, and therefore I'm not going to elaborate on that. And I also refer you to our publications so that you can get more details. Okay, let me start with the earnings release. Let us begin with digital industries. With regard to orders, digital industries successfully continued its growth trajectory in the software business. However, demand continued to cool considerably in the short cycle product businesses, particularly in the automotive and machine building industries. From a geographic perspective, order growth at digital industries as a whole came from the Americas region, and this was driven by the U.S. in particular. Overall, DI's orders rose modestly on a comparable basis. Revenue declined, mainly due to the market downturn in the short-cycle businesses, in particular in Germany. Now, at 17.4%, excluding severance charges, the adjusted EBITDA margin was down year over year. In the first quarter of 2019, the margin had benefited, however, from the sale of an equity investment. You know, with 115 million euros in severance charges, Digital Industries is rapidly implementing the plan it announced last May. In the first quarter, DI also made massive investments again in future-oriented technologies. Digital Industries invested a total of 80 million euros, 80 million in cloud solutions and in the integration of Mentor, which had an impact of 210 basis points on the margin. Smart Infrastructure got off to a solid start in the new fiscal year, and SI's orders remained at the level of the very strong prior year quarter. The positive drivers were the software business, and the business in Asia and in Australia were also particularly strong regionally. And, you know, we can say that we've generated considerable growth despite the demands in the short cycle industries. The majority of Smart Infrastructure's businesses increased their profitability in the first quarter, and this with the support of currency effects. In comparison with the previous year, the adjusted EBITDA was higher, 8.8%, and the Smart Infrastructure team was making solid progress with its profitability-enhancing measures. Now, over the next coming quarters, this progress will also be reflected in higher severance charges. And Roland Busch has briefly touched on that matter already. Now about our energy business, and I can say that it continues to operate in a challenging environment. At 5.6 billion euros, orders at gas and power were solid in the first quarter but didn't reach the high level of the prior year quarter when we booked several large orders in the power transmission and service businesses. Revenue remained at the level of the prior year quarter. Here, significant growth at the power transmission business was offset by declines at other businesses. Overall profitability at and this refers to the business mix, and this in connection with Siemens Energy as a separate or independent publicly listed company, we can say that the profitability was declining slightly in the first quarter, but nevertheless we can say that the adjusted EBITDA margin reached 1.7%, and this excluding any severance charges. Now, last but not least, about mobility, and as expected, it got off to a rather restrained start in the new fiscal year. Orders were well below the very high level of the prior year quarter, when the 1.6 billion euros order for the London Tube and an order in Canada with a volume of 800 millions were booked. Regarding revenue, mobility maintained the high level of the prior year quarter, despite the slight decline at its rail infrastructure business. And as already announced, revenue will pick up considerably in the coming quarters. At 10.3%, excluding severance charges, or 10.0% as reported, the adjusted EBITDA margin was well within the margin range for this for the 25th quarter in a row. Let's turn to our outlook. To be brief, we're on track to reach the ambitious targets we forecast, and we confirm our outlook for fiscal 2020. And now I hand over to Clarissa Heller.
Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. We'll now get started with our Q&A session. If you have a question, please raise your hand, and please do wait for one of the microphones. Otherwise, our colleagues joining via webcast will not be able to hear you. The first question is Mr. Flämig. He was the fastest one this morning. Good morning. So just two brief questions. First of all, extraordinary effects basically saved the earnings for the shares because the operational performance was relatively bad in Q1. Does the operational outlook for the different divisions, don't you have to phrase it a bit more carefully, especially considering coronavirus risks? Second question, gas and power. You talked about a gap. Is there an additional headcount decline in the cards? Well, Mr. Flämig, good morning. And before Michael actually talks about power regeneration, just a general remark on the quarter. Now, of course, yeah, we've had better quarters in the past, no questions about that. But you also have to know that Q1 for us, generally speaking, for the annual outlook, is about where we expected it. Now, we've said time and time again that for the second half of the year, we expect a stabilization of the short cycle business and, of course, also expect the development of our financial results to go accordingly. And that's why this isn't really a big surprise that we couldn't stomach. Now, of course, it would have been great if the Healthineers were on an impressive growth track and would have turned great profit. But again, this can change in the next few quarters, and we've heard accordingly. Now, of course, you're also very right in saying that we have to look at the potential effects of the coronavirus. Absolutely. That is something that we have to analyze. Now, these effects could both be on the procurement as well as on the sales side. Now, the sales side, of course, is quite clear. We had a quite positive development in our China business, also regarding the short cycle business. And that's why in the next few quarters, we simply have to see how it's going to develop, how demand is going to develop. And then second of all, we now have to look at the global supply chain and global procurement and how that actually is affected by Chinese components and products. So if you will, of course, we've already founded a crisis group, if you will, in our procurement department to make sure that we get all the right components in time to stabilize, to make sure our businesses outside of the Chinese domestic market are stable. And, you know, let me just say, in a time when we don't actually know how to contain the virus, we need to keep calm. And we need to reassess the situation day to day. And that's why I think it is smart and reasonable, and also our approach that we leave our guidance unchanged, our annual guidance unchanged, and then reassess how this global pandemic actually evolves and how that can influence our business. And also, I think it's decisive that in Q2, Siemens Energy will basically be its independent unit. That, of course, also has a huge effect on the P&L statement and our balance sheet. And then we'll see. But at the moment, I think we need to keep calm. We need to make sure that we cut through the noise and simply stick with the plan that we've laid out. And I would like to once again remind you that for 6 years running, we've hit our forecasts on the head. Sometimes we actually increased our guidance. And of course, there were also quarters that weren't outstanding, and we always dealt with it. And we're going to do this year as well. And I would just like to once again remind you that outside, of course, of leading our day-to-day operations, we also are tackling the biggest transformation in our company's history for a long time, the carve-out of Siemens Energy. And Roland has also mentioned it, that I am thankful and proud as to how our organization deals with such an extra burden, such extra stress. And of course, we're also talking about environmental activism. That's a big topic. So a lot has come together in this one quarter. But, of course, it is management tasks to make sure that these turbulences aren't emphasized, but that the waves can be smoothed and calmed. Michael.
No, thank you very much. Maybe just to Siemens Energy. If Mr. Käse speaks of the largest transformation and the carve-out of Siemens Energy, then, of course, you can see that this takes a lot of power and that our team at Siemens Energy truly tackles a lot of that, shoulders a lot of that burden, our employees. That is a tremendous amount that we need to tackle this year, a carve-out and a simultaneous reorganization, and naming a new management team and still playing ball in the day-to-day business. That is something. And, of course, we can see that when it comes to being close to the customers, we were able to do that because we have a positive book-to-bill ratio when it comes to incoming orders and very good orders also in the mid-size gas turbine area, but also when it comes to electricity, we can see that we are truly still on the market. And then this year, we were a bit more careful in our phrasing of the margin corridor, 2-5% in Q1. In Q1, we're below this margin. And Mr. Thomas has mentioned that this is a mixed topic in Q1, which we want to be able to make up for. So the revenue in the services business, even though that revenue was quite solid, but compared to our long-term average, we can definitely say that there is going to be a larger share of the services revenue. And we do expect that for Q3 and 4. And so we're really working on making sure that we get into that margin corridor. So just looking at Q1, there's definitely no reason to ignore the measures that we've laid out. Dr. Busch has already mentioned this, the headcount restructuring in gas and power. So we're going to do that. We don't necessarily need to think about additional measures. But at the same time, I have to say, and this has always been the consensus at all town halls, and when it comes to the transition between the two companies, of course, we've seen that 20,000 people in Germany truly transitioned to the new company. And we have seen painful headcount cuts in the past. And I cannot guarantee today that we will have to do things going forward in order to strengthen our competitiveness, because it is a very dynamic environment. Mr. Busch called it disruptive change, but this is where we're at the moment. Next question is Mr. Höppner and then Mr. Pöhl.
Good morning. I also have three questions. Number one, I'm still not quite sure what that big swing between the impressive Q4 and the weak Q1, what's the cause of that? Maybe you can just explain it very briefly. The second question is, when it comes to the carve-out, is there also going to be a write-off around Reservant? And if yes, where? And Mr. Käser, do you assume that you're going to be sitting here again in 1 year's time? Or what do you think about succession planning? Well, it's always good to have a reliable CFO who can answer the the first of questions. And the next one is going to be Mr. Busch. Well, Mr. Hübner, maybe let me just explain to you again. Q4, as a long-timer, if I may just call you that, is nothing new to you. Q4 is always very special, not just for Siemens, but across all companies. It's basically the September miracle. The September miracle doesn't necessarily repeat itself in December, otherwise it wouldn't be a September miracle, now would it? And of course, I've already pointed out that with our savings measures that we did already present on the Capital Market Day,
when it comes to digital industries. We've seen an increase in speed, and that's why we've spent 115 million in restructuring costs for this quarter, or we've booked it, and we've see 17.4% as the margin corridor. So if these restructuring costs were or are very high for this quarter, and if you take those out, 17.4% is definitely at the lower range of the margin corridor that we are striving for this year. We've already announced this in the November annual press conference. And at the same time, we're doing exactly what we've announced it. We execute what we've announced. And on top of that, I would just like to expressly emphasize the fact that with 80 million in Q1, with digital industries, we're still investing in future industries, in cloud-based industries, in cloud-based technologies, and in the integration of our software acquisitions. That is a tremendous competitive edge for us that has always paid off and that we definitely will keep an eye on. So we are investing, we continue to invest, despite the fact that the market environment is very difficult. And Mr. Kayser has mentioned that we do see some positive shoots here and there. And of course, we're going to keep a very close eye on the implementations that Mr. Kayser has pointed out, how that works, also how the coronavirus is going to be affecting everything. And at the moment, we believe we're still in a relatively comfortable position. And that's why Q1 is a quarter which is relatively close to the expectations that we've laid out and has come to fruition accordingly. We look back at the guidance for November 1. Now, when it comes to Dresser and the write-offs here, of course, we would realize those write-offs as soon as they would materialize, and we wouldn't really wait until the next quarter. There's very strict rules, and of course, we are in strict adherence to those rules, as always. There's definitely no ifs and buts about it, if Siemens. So if there were any write-offs, of course, you would have already found out about that. Right, says Mr. Kayser. Now, maybe just on the swings and the short cycle businesses. Of course, we also have to mention here that we shouldn't forget to look at the industries. And if we look at the different industries, Siemens is very strong in the automotive sector, particularly, of course, in engineering. Now, those are very lucrative lucrative industries that have given us a lot of growth. And of course, I don't necessarily have to tell you in detail how mechanical engineering is in Germany. With our customers, we see 30 to 40% in reductions in their business. Of course, that's going to translate into our business. That just makes sense. That goes without saying. Also, the automotive sector isn't necessarily expanding. I don't think I'm breaking any news here either. And that's why, relatively speaking, we are more affected here in the automation and electrification short cycle business products than potentially other competitors. But our competitors are still in a very robust American market. But if you look at software, and I think that's very important for us, this hardware, software, all of these connections, then I believe we can truly derive a competitive advantage from that. And I think in Q1, Ralph, you, of course, have the numbers. I think the incoming orders actually increased by more than 30%. Is that right, Ralph? Yes, absolutely, more than 30%. Well, and of course, you can also see that our plans are coming to fruition slowly but surely. An order increase of plus 30% and more in the software business, that's great for the next quarters. Now, these incoming orders are quite impressive. I think that warrants that word. That was one of the few things in Q1, and that's not translated into our revenue yet. So that's going to be coming in the future quarters. And it's definitely going to be profitable. Now, Mr. Höppner, you can already see that regarding my succession, the tension is rising. But of course, we've had a plan. The company has had a plan for 15 years regarding succession planning for the company, for the most important management positions in the company. And of course, it is important to have something like that for a company of our size, of our importance. And the more we go through the individual quarters, the more we tackle our challenges, the more, of course, you get the impression that our plan is actually working, that it is, in fact, a good plan. And I think that's all we have to say on that. Of course, our supervisory board is mainly responsible for tackling this task. There's nothing new. Maybe in today's AGM's speech by Mr. Snabe, we'll hear about that more, but probably not as far as I know him. So it is how it is, and I don't think I have anything to add on that. Next, Mr. Pöhl, then Ms. Meyer, and then Mr. Fromm. Good morning, Mr. Käser. Alexander Pohl from ZDF. I have a question on the signaling technology job in Australia. You've mentioned that you think it's grotesque that you are now the focus of the environmental activist, and then two sentences after, you say, if you were in a comparable situation nowadays, you definitely would not sign this contract anymore. Now, my question is, why do you think it is grotesque that you are the focus? Are you really surprised by that? Number one. Number two, there are, of course, demands from the political world, not just from the political world, but new demands that you leave this contract. Are you still going to stick with the contract? And if so, maybe can you just once again explain the reasons why Siemens sticks to the contract? Because, of course, it's already caused a tremendous damage to your image. Well, first of all, the remark that, as you mentioned, is grotesque, I think that is about really the proportionality of that job, of that order in Australia, and the reality, the facts. I think that's the discrepancy that I've mentioned, and I don't think that word is too much. Because if you think about the fact that 5 years ago, right, 5 years ago, there was no Fridays for Future back then, there was no other activities in this order, in this range. We already said 5 years ago that 2030 we're going to be climate neutral from our own volition, no pressure, no other influences. And I think it's those questions regarding the proportionality that we have to respect here. Now, in Australia, we did see contractual obligations. We did agree to them, we signed them, we checked them very extensively, as mentioned, and we simply made those decisions based on that. Maybe you also have some comments on that. Well, the contract with our customers, of course, also has a liability limit, coverage limits that make sure that we work diligently. If we simply leave the order without a substantial reason and the customer were not to agree to that, that limit would lapse. And with that, of course, that could slip into a dimension that would deviate largely from the order volume that we know. And that's why, of course, we don't want and cannot leave this contract. And of course, we also have a responsibility for and to our customers. And you also have to look at the reliability of Siemens. The reliability of Siemens is at stake. So that's also crucial. And at the end of the day, if we had this unexplained exit, we don't have a liability limit. Ms. Meyer.
Well, good morning. I've got two questions. Siemens Gamesa is one. Here, you had a markup of one third. You're now talking about the share prices. You accepted that. I would like to know why so much. And, of course, you mentioned these 100 millions of savings, you know, when dissolving a contract and a closer cooperation, you know, it is very difficult to understand how you want to save hundreds of millions, you know, and why is such a markup, such a, say, surcharge to the price, share prices? Have you been blackmailed by Ebertula? Second question, Mr. Käser. Maybe. And, you know, just thinking of the last few weeks, I can say that you've been mentioned in the media practically every day and you didn't really make a contribution, contributed nothing to this. You know, you commented on this or that aspect, yes. But would you say that the result of this communication is a good result? Would you say so? Mrs. Meyer, thank you very much. I would like to answer the question related to Siemens Gamesa. Whenever Siemens is investing, then there's always some kind of rationale behind it. It is not influenced by emotions or negative framework conditions. You know, it is, I do not really want to talk about these negative aspects. I will spare you this. But nevertheless, well, we can say that we always invest our capital in such a way that we can generate, a good return. The markup you mentioned, you know, above the current share price. Share price takes this into account. But nevertheless, I'd like to point out, like I said, the supposedly cooperation agreement. It is a real cooperation agreement. And, you know, we also had a very, say, differentiating look at this. We talked to the management, discussed the implementation of all this with the management. These were intense discussions and, there were several board members taking part and also those leading the negotiations. And I can say that the entire management who is responsible for achieving these hundreds of millions which you mentioned have voiced very clear opinions and attitudes how we can generate these savings, where the potential is. And this is definitely in the cooperation in along the supply chain. How can we get the right materials at economically favorable conditions in order to bring everything about. And of course, we also entered into clear agreements with Matrola, referring to the future business opportunities which we're going to pursue together. And this, of course, in the context of, the energy-related situation across the world and also other things like tensions in the various marketplaces. You know, they all can have an effect. We had a very close look at all these aspects and we got the respective opinion of the relevant management, and you can rest assured that this is a well-considered decision, like all the other decisions which we are also taking. I believe it is very important to, discuss this agreement with the management too. You know, this against the backdrop of a kind of activist-like shareholders' opinions. You know, this refers to such an agreement, and it will also be, considered in our business deliberations. And, of course, it really doesn't make sense to have shareholders talking to third parties about the targets or things like this. You know, and Mrs. Meyer, it is surely like this. There are many aspects which play a role in this respect, getting the attention of the management and the board. And, of course, we want to focus their attention to the business and the development of the business in order to make sure that we can, control, influence, profitability, and also making sure that the various interests are reflected. And, of course, the second question, being in the media every day, well, I'm not writing about myself. You know, most of the media are sitting just in front of me now, aren't they? And, you know, I don't think... I don't think it is necessary to mention on this. Apart from that, of course, I'm aware of all this. And, you know, this was a very, rhetorical question, actually. And now, when talking about such issues, you can never win. You can never win when discussing such issues or topics, because the claims, the demands voiced or mentioned are, legitimate ones. But these demands or claims will bring about solutions right away. You know, in this case, we cannot win young against old activists against the company and other aspects. You see, there are several issues which play a role in this respect, so it's not easy. But, you cannot win, I say so, but nevertheless we should create transparency related to a very, very complex issue, because there are very many connections between cause and effect. And, of course, we have to look at the project in Australia. You know, only, we are now in the phase of the second, derivation, you might call it like this. This is a problematic issue. Now, there are some things which we feel difficult to say understand. You know, the development of locomotive engines. You know, if you look at the value chains, and of course this will all influence the discussions. And then the engines or the freight trains themselves, which are on the rails anyway, so and whether or not this has a relevance when it comes to their operations, you know, here such a project has zero relevance. And then, you know, the question, ladies and gentlemen, is a different one. Where does all this end when you talk about the value chain? Rio Tinto, the largest mining company in the world, builds headquarters in, say, a city in Australia, let's say Sydney, and Siemens is delivering the building technology or systems, making sure that we generate 20 to 30% of energy savings, energy efficiency, that is to be improved. And then there's someone saying, you are not allowed to do that because this is the largest, you know, coal mining operation in the world. Just think about a palladium or copper mine in, say, Chile. And Siemens, often enough, sent, you know, signaling systems in order to make sure that the respective rail systems can operate safely and that, you know, miners can come up from underground and you see the daylight in a very safe manner. And then they say, powered by Siemens. And then an activist takes a photo and then, you know, they've got 40 to 50 followers and, of course, they're posted somewhere. And, you know, Mrs. Thunberg is then using this and, you know, distributing this information to the world. Without palladium, without copper, we will not have smartphones, we will not have social media, etc. You see, this is the complexity of the value chain. And the other aspect, ladies and gentlemen, is the reality which we are living in. The reality which we are living in, here, the entire world, our wealth, our prosperity depends on the fact that we are using fossil fuels. And, you know, the longer this takes, the more we will have to take into account oil and gas. You know, there are so and so many barrels every day. You know, the realities are such that we have to build up everything based on these realities in order to improve matters, you know, in the context of energy management. How to go from coal to gas to wind power? How can we do that? You know, talking about building coal-fired power plants, you know, and then the gas-fired power plants, and then wind, of course, this is not good enough, because, or not very good at all, because it kills birds. But, you know, then you've got an electricity line overland. This is, you know, the other side. I think we should take all this into account. We should be aware of the fact that this is very complex. We look at the value chain. We look at everything, the fossil, traditional transmission technology to using renewable energy resources. This is the future of the world. There's no question about it. But, you know, it is all about how we can get into the future. And it's not that easy. And, of course, it always makes sense to get together. And, of course, that you cross lines, if you line. On the one hand, the signaling systems, and on the other hand, you know, the Friday's discussions. I believe this is a good approach, isn't it? Well, I've got three more questions. 4 minutes, actually, are left. Therefore, I would like to ask you to ask one question only, because this will give others the opportunity to ask a question. Mr. Fromm, Mr. Kuhn, and Mr. Reville, please. Thomas Fromm, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Mr. Kayser, just following up on what you just said, the impression is that all these polemics, the polemic discussion about the signaling system, is just the tip of the iceberg of a much, much larger quarrel. You know, I talked to the climate activists, and they said Siemens has to get out of everything, get out of the entire fossil business. I'm not going to ask you whether or not you're going to do that, because I know that you've got other problems on your hand. with the other energy subsidiary. But my question is, what will happen over the next few months? You know, Mrs. Neubauer tried, or you tried, to get her involved. You know, here you failed. But, you know, this means there's lots and lots more just brewing up, you know, just on the horizon. And, you know, this in the context of the summer and, of course, in September here, this will be an issue. Have you got a strategy in place? Well, I explained some of the elements you touched on right now have been explained. You know, it is all about listening to people, you know, talk to the Australian government. I've done that. And then also Mrs. Neubauer, I thought she's a representative of the environment, you know, movement. And, you know, we tried to find some kind of agreement. And this was an attempt. And I think I would do it again, i.e. having a dialogue, looking at the world as it is, and that there are connections, that there are links, interconnections, the ones which I've just described. And if you look at the escalation of the demands, then you will understand that we always try to use a solution-oriented approach, but we do not make progress. But this world needs progress. This world needs, you know, us going forward. And therefore, I think we haven't got enough time, and therefore I just touch on that, because otherwise I'm going to repeat this, because during the AGM you will probably hear more about this in more detail, that is. You know, the discussion about the signalling project, Australia, it's just a symptom of a development taking place in this world where we see more and more polarizing, you know, developments. And we're going to present a solution how we can get from conventional to renewable energy resources. We are going to offer solutions how power can be transmitted over high voltage lines. You know, this is not so easy. You know, we have to do it right, because otherwise there might be fatal consequences than storage systems, so that we can reduce CO2 emissions considerably. It's not easy, but we are going to work on it. We are going to try and do all this in this respect. Mr. Kuhn, please. I would like to follow up on that. Did I understand you correctly? The entire discussion has got out of control from your perspective, and you cannot find a solution? And, you know, nevertheless, you do not want to anticipate what you're going to say during the AGM. So have you got a signal, or have you got a message which you would like to announce how you will save face any criticisms coming? You mentioned and said dialogue, but there must be more in order to satisfy and pacify the mood and atmosphere. Have you got a message, not necessarily, you know, in the context of the Sustainability Committee and, you know, all their efforts, and nobody understands how you want to reach your targets? Please, okay, of course you can communicate. Are there any clear messages? You know, it's not about hoisting a white flag. No, this is not what it is about. It is getting out, approaching people. Well, I believe we've done that. We got in touch. We approached people. We talked to an activist movement. And this is exactly, you know, in your business, people ridicule this, you know. Now the CEO is talking to children, to kids. I believe that this is really misplaced. But nevertheless, we have to talk to people. We have to explain connections or links. You know, the problems don't disappear simply by, you know, belittling them. No. And, of course, this will be our job in the future, that we have to use a considerate approach, explain things, how things, you know, are interconnected, and then arrive at the respective conclusions. And Siemens is part of the solution. We are working on that. And, of course, we are not going to hoist any flags or do any other things. No, we look at this business model, activism. It will become superfluous simply by the fact that others, including us, are interested in solutions. I believe this might lead to a misconception in the society, you know, and maybe you've got some clever or smart answers to this. Well, the only point I can say is that this is a discussion, you know, running on a narrow gauge, you might put it like this. You know, I think we have to make sure that we can achieve our targets. This is a very multifaceted issue, and what we can do in order to reduce CO2, you know, offering new technologies to our customers, you know, improving energy efficiencies. Without new technologies, we will not be able to solve our problems. We will not be able to have a CO2 neutral, you know, environment. This is something which we have to focus on, and we have to do what we've done in the past, i.e. maybe speed up things, quicken the pace, if you like. And now, Mr. Drevel, last question, please. Yeah, gas and power in Siemens Gamesa still have problems, and of course the Australian have got this agreement. Now, I would like to know what does this make? Will all this make things much more difficult? Will it influence this? Well, before I hand over to Mr. Sen to talk about the energy issues, I just want to make clear that the Australian project is about signaling technology and it's got nothing to do with energy. So, Michael, what about energy? How can we, you know, answer this? Well, surely when looking at the performance development, we have to take into account, particularly if you're in the run-up to a listing on the stock exchange, you know, we looked at the margin band. We were a bit more cautious in this respect. And, of course, the world knows what to expect. You know, the energy market, this industry is undergoing a fundamental change. And, you know, its setup is completely different from, say, the digital factory or the smart infrastructures. This is the reason why we are doing this. We can assume that different from Siemens Healthineers, we cannot consider this and cannot position ourselves as, say, a favorable, positive, growth-generating share. But no, it will entail some improvement potential. And this will be part of the story. And this potential, this improvement potential, will be brought about simply by talking about things, making us able to respond faster. And then looking at the industry, you know, at the competitors like peers, and then we try to take the lead, you know. And of course, this will always address a fundamental trend in this world, i.e. energy. And Mr. Kayser mentioned this already, that is, how can we bring about this conversion from traditional energies to renewable energies up until to very, very new energy technologies, you know, sector coupling, as they call it. And this means we are now opening up a second era of electrification, and this is part of our stock listing.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, with that I would like to close our press conference and, of course, once again invite you cordially to witness the analyst call, and you can stay right here. Starts at 8:45. Thank you very much for your participation and your presence, and of course we'll see again on May 8th for Q2. Thank you very much.